A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Word Fountain Christian Ministries. Be blessed.
Our women are saying, their hallelujahs belong to you. Our singles are saying, their hallelujahs belong to you. Our children will say, and they'll continue to say, their hallelujahs belong to you. As departments, we're saying, Lord, our hallelujahs belong to you. As a church, Cowley, Swindon, Watchville, North Oxford, our hallelujahs will belong to you. That's our declaration, O God. Nothing else will steal our praise, will steal our worship. Father, O God, but our focus is on you, the great and mighty God. Hallelujah. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, that's our declaration this morning.
Great are you, Lord.
Great are you. In our lives, in our families, and all that concerns us. Great are you, Lord. Yes, Lord, you are great. Great are you, Lord. None can compare to you, my King. Great are you. Great, great are you.
Father, we exalt you in this place. Daddy, we lift you high, higher, higher and above every other name. Daddy, Lord Jehovah, we thank you. May you be adored, may you be exalted. Daddy, above every force of distraction, above everything that tries to pull us down, weigh us down. Daddy, in the name of Jesus, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Daddy, only mighty through your power, through your name, in the name of Jesus. Father, we say take absolute preeminence in this service. Take absolute control, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, come and inhabit, O Lord Jehovah, this house, this sanctuary. Father, we want the fullness of your presence. Daddy, we want the fullness of you. Daddy, we'll bless your holy name. We commit all to you, even this hour, Daddy Lord Jehovah, as you speak to us. Daddy Lord, your anointing and everything we read and everything we hear, Daddy, let it be all about you. Let it all be all about your spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, that spirit, oh God, that gives us liberty. Daddy Lord Jehovah, the areas we struggle to believe, the areas, oh God, where we are, Lord, maybe there is pain or any, Lord Jehovah, oh God, discouragement, Daddy, we say freedom to take and receive what you are giving to us today. That is because we cannot leave the same way we came if we indeed fellowship and commune with you today. Daddy Lord Jehovah, we soak all that we'll do by the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you because you can be trusted to do what you say you will do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. May we take our seats. God bless you. I greet you in the name of the Lord with the love of God. This morning, I think it's still morning, yes, just about. Praise God. Our senior pastor sends her greetings and her love. She's fellowshipping today with our Swindon brethren, Swindon and Watchville. That's a good thing. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just looking for a message. I'll just read out from our senior pastor. She says, we rejoice without hesitation as we declare his wondrous deeds. Are we ready for that? Amen. We enter God's presence with confidence by the blood of the Lamb. We declare unto the Lord be all the glory for the things that he has done. We are filled with expectations of the move of the Holy Spirit in the fullness of power to save, to heal, to deliver, to comfort, encourage, direct, and bless us all as we gather in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. As well. Praise God. As we open the word,
For those who want a topic, we'll be talking about this morning, trusting the Lord in order to declare his wondrous deeds. Amen. Say to somebody, we're trusting the Lord in order to declare his wondrous deeds. Say to another person as it sinks in what we're saying, trusting the Lord in order to declare his wondrous deeds. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just start by going to Psalm 71, which is our main focus chapter that we've been studying this month. I'm going to read from Psalm 71, from verse 1 to 5. Psalm 71, from verse 1 to 5. It says, O Lord, and this is David, as we remember, speaking, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. We will not be disgraced as we've come to the Lord. You will not be disgraced as you've come to the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. That's our starting declaration, and we'll continue to declare because we are not to be silent. So save me and rescue me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear, Lord, to listen to me and set me free. Be my rock of safety where I can always hide. Give the order to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. My God, rescue me from the power of the wicked, from the clutches, amen, thank you, sir, from the clutches of cruel oppressors. Sometimes life can come and it just feel like you're oppressed and it doesn't seem fair. And David was in that position and he says, rescue me from the power of the wicked. You know, the Bible says the Lord will bring to an end the wickedness of the wicked. And God can rescue. Amen. His hands are not too short. And then he says in verse 5, which is my focus, he says, O Lord, you alone are my hope. I've trusted you, O Lord, from childhood. Amen. As we go on, where he starts to declare his wondrous deed, it starts from that place of trust. He says, I've trusted you from my childhood. David knew this because he was a shepherd boy. When lions came to attack his sheep, he knew he could trust on God. He was not particularly liked by his brothers. When he came to the camp and he was talking to one of them, you saw how rudely his brothers responded to him. He was not even seen as good enough for his family to become a king. Because when Prophet Samuel came to the house looking for the family, he was even forgotten right at the back. So David could have come up with a complex with low self-esteem. But he continued to trust the Lord. When he faced Goliath, he knew he could trust God. He went in the name of the Lord. When Saul was after his life, he knew he could continue to trust God. You know, that's why in Psalm 118 we hear about the fact he says, I will not die, but I will live to declare the works of the Lord, because he trusted in the Lord. There were family crises when his own son rose up and brought people to gang up against David, but he knew he could trust in the Lord. Even when he went down, when he fell and he murdered Uriah, he still knew he didn't have to stay in that place. Amen. He could trust in the Lord. Amen. The Bible talks about even if there's fallen seven times, there is opportunity to rise again, because it's the Lord who raises us. Amen. And that's why this Psalm 71, it said that it was written when David was in older, later stages of his life. So when David was saying, since his childhood, he could trust the Lord, I'm sure he was reflecting and looking at all the different times, all the different seasons, that it was difficult, but he could say, I can trust the Lord, and put his hope, that hope that does not disappoint, that he has tested in his own life, he could say, yes, I can trust this God. Amen. Amen. As we see, trusting God is a choice. We can decide either to trust him or not to trust God. In that is, every situation that presents itself, we can decide to stand aside of worry, or we can trust God. Whatever comes, are we trusting God? Are we going on the side of worry? Even as we reflect on different things in our lives, what are we going through? Is it trust or is it panic? Is it anxiety? Is it worry? Or is it this one where we're looking at Psalm to teach us to say, we will trust in God so that we can declare his goodness? We can't declare goodness of somebody you don't trust. It's not possible. If you look at your human relationships, if you don't trust that person, it's very difficult to go declaring about how good that person is. Even if you start, you probably wouldn't complete that sentence because things would be, are you sure you trust this person? They did this, they did that. Are you sure? Can you vouch for that person? It's very difficult. But David could trust in it because he could declare it because he trusted in this God. That's why he could boldly declare it, no matter what. And that's what the Lord is saying. To declare is about trusting him so you are able to fully, confidently declare his wondrous deeds. Amen. Let somebody please read Psalm 31. Verse 14. Has somebody got the mic? Psalm 31, verse 14.
Psalm 31, verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. But I trust in you, Lord. I say is declaration. Amen. I'm saying you are my God. That is, whatever the health challenges, whatever sicknesses, whatever financial challenges, even in our spiritual walk, the areas are saying, Lord, help me to pray more. Help me to pray more effectively. Help me to study, do my devotions more. Help me to go out and speak about your word. Evangelize better, my daily walk. You might have family situation. Ultimately, the psalmist here says, but no matter what those things are that surround, no matter what's happening, but I trust in you. Lord Adonai, the one I know who never fails, the one who never leaves or forsakes me. Lord, I trust. I say you are my God. I can say you are my God. And that's what the psalmist was saying there. That no matter what we should be confessing, it's about God's goodness. It's about the fact that you are my God. In those situations, you're not saying, but I trust in you, but oh well, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it through. I don't know what situation, my finances, the way it's going, Lord, this month, I don't know. Lord, what the doctors have said, I don't know. The Bible is saying you are to say, you are my God. Amen? We're going in his name. We're going in what we know of God. And we're saying, no matter what's coming on, Lord, no matter where they call me, no matter what judgment they're making, no matter what it is at work, but you are my God. No matter what's going on in my family situation, no matter how tight it is, sometimes it pushes us to say something that is not what God wants us to confess. But we say, but you are my God. Even if that's the only thing you'll be declaring, that you're saying, but Lord, I trust in you, O Lord. But you are my God. And I will say, you are my God. Say means we have to say it. When the Bible writes say, it means say it. It doesn't say mute it. It says, but say, you are my God. And there's no way we will say, you are my God, that he will leave you. He will be our God and we'll be a people unto him. So you say that you are my God, wherever, whatever the situation. Well, sometimes even when you don't know what to answer, just say, but you are my God. But you are my God. I will say you are my God. But I trust in you and I'll say you are my God. Amen. So why are we talking about trust today? I just want to give a background on when I believe the Lord started to minister to me about sharing about trust. Come with me to the book of Leviticus. You follow me, 11. Leviticus is not always the book that we use for exhortation, but it's a good book for teaching, for us to really appreciate the New Testament. Amen. Leviticus 11. I'll just read because I just want to catch some verses and the Holy Spirit will help us. And I just want to draw some points out of this. Are we there if we say amen? Praise God. Leviticus 11. This is basically, let me start actually, and then I'll explain by God's grace. Verse 1, it says, then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Of all the land animals, these are the ones you may use for food. You may eat any animal that has completely split hooves and choose the cud. You may not, however, eat the following animals that have split hooves or that chew the cud, but not both. In other words, eat ones that do both, basically. You may eat animals that completely have completely split hooves, that is their feet have to split in two, and those that chew the cud, that is when they chew it comes back up and goes down and they chew it again. And that's what the Lord was instructing them about, what they do for land animals. And then I go to verse 9. Please come with me. We'll come together in Jesus' name. Verse 9. So that is the first one we read, was God giving instruction for land animals. Now we're talking about marine animals in verse 9. And Lord here gives again a criterion. He says, of all the marine animals, these are the ones you may use for food. You may eat anything from the water if it has both fins and scales, whether it's taken from salt water or from stream. So he gives them a guide as well, what kind of marine animals they should eat. Let's go to verse 20. And he says, this time he's talking about insects. You must not eat winged insects that walk along the ground. They are detestable to you. You may, however, eat winged insects that walk along the ground and have jointed legs so they can jump. So God again gives a criteria. When it comes to insects, this is what you follow to eat it. When we go to verse 13, the Lord says, these are the birds that are detestable for you, to you. You must never eat them. And God starts to list the different birds that they shouldn't eat as he instructs the children of Israel. But before I explain what I'm drawing out of this, I just want to buttress it that this is the instruction that we're given in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, as we know, these no longer have to apply in that regard where we're picking and saying, what are you going to eat? If we look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, this is what the Bible says. Amen. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods. But God created these foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Romans 14:3 says, if somebody's in Romans 14:3, I'll let someone read that. Romans 14:3.
Romans 14:3. Let not him that eat despise him that eat not, and let not him which eat not judge him that eat, for God has received him.
Praise God. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. It says, those who feel free to eat, in the New Living Translation, those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain food must not condemn those who do, for God accepted them. So this is to buttress. What I'm reading is not necessarily dictating to us that you have to eat the certain type of marine animals or all of that. I'm just trying to bring a point in my study that I believe God started to point in the area of trust. So what I'm trying to pull out from this is, if we look with the land animals, the Lord gave a formula. There was a criteria to say this type of animals, the ones that chew the cud and the ones that have split hooves, when you go, these are the ones that you should eat. So I'm sure the children of Israel, they would use that as a guide to say, whatever land animal, has it got split hooves? Okay, is it one that chews its cord? Okay, that's the one we eat. Anyone that does one or the other, no. This is what God is saying. When they came to marine animals, it was easy to say, okay, yes, it has fins, it has scales. So according to God, these are the clean ones we could eat. When it came to the winged insects, they could also use the formula given in the Bible to say, okay, this is what the Lord has said is clean and unclean. But when we look at the birds, the Lord just gives names of specific birds. He doesn't give his formula. He just says, these are the birds in verse 13 of Leviticus 11. These are the birds that are detestable to you. You must never eat them. And he lists the griffin, vulture, bearded vulture, and he just gives that list. So as an Israelite, you don't have that formula. There are over 10,000 species of birds, and you're looking and thinking, is this one that God wants me to eat? Or is this one that I shouldn't eat? And I started to ponder, and I was asking my spirit, Lord, wouldn't it have been easier just to give another formula for birds so that these people would not fall into sin? And I believe what the Lord started to minister in my heart was that, you see, you can imagine if we had formulas for everything, as human beings, get to the point where you're not sure if you need God anymore. Because you just start following the formula, you just easy, I'll do this, and it becomes careless, becomes complacent. But it needs a time when you need to trust, rely on God to direct you, to guide you, to say, Lord, help me, which one is right, which one isn't? And also what was coming out of that is there's something that the Lord does that may not make sense. You look at it and you think, this, how am I supposed to follow this? How am I supposed to pick? You've named some vultures, you've not named some vultures. All over here, what we're reading, I don't see 10,000, but it says there are about 10,000 birds, species not discovered by a human being. I mean, 10,000 species discovered by a human being. So there are other ones that have not been discovered. But of that 10,000, where is the criteria? What is the guide to know this is the one that is clean or unclean? But there are things that doesn't make sense. The widow of Zarephath, she had just a little flour and oil, but she was to give it to the priest, the prophet of God. There was Naaman, he had to go and dip in the river Jordan 7 days. Even to him, it did not make sense. Of all the things you could have done, Lord, you could have called a prophet to come and anoint me, bless me, let the disease go. But you're asking me to what? Dip in water. Daniel, who is precious of God, you're throwing me, Lord, in a lion's den? That doesn't make sense. How can you let me go in the lion's den? Lord, I don't understand how this works. There's so many, when you look at the different stories in the Bible, Jesus did not have to go on the cross. That again doesn't make sense. If you look at it, God will send his own son to go and die. Realistically, that's why sometimes when you evangelize, people find it difficult to comprehend that, because again, it doesn't make sense. But it's God who opens our eyes. And if we're patient, if we trust in him, if we walk in him, with him, the Bible said God causes everything to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It's God himself that causes it to work together for good. There are things in our life that may not make sense. How can I, Lord, you make a way, send me to this country, I've arrived, and I'm fighting to get my stay. How does that make sense? How can I get to that age, and I know it's time for me to get a partner? Lord, why is that person not just appearing? Why not? Why is it that I go to work, I've worked hard, I've done everything they want me to do, why am I not getting recognized? Why am I not getting the promotion? How come I do this kind of work and everything and my finances don't seem to make sense? And all the people who don't even know you, they'll just do something very short, very quick, before you know it, money seems to appear to them. And there's so many things like that that we can question that doesn't make any sense. We come back to this and it said, but I trust in the Lord and I say, you are my God. It's not about making sense. The Bible didn't say we walk by sense, but we walk by faith, not by sight, not by any of our senses, not by even our own intellect, because it's foolishness. We walk by the wisdom of God. So I'm here to encourage us that when we're in our private corner, when the enemy comes to taunt us to say, this does not make any sense, how can you be serving God and this is going on in your life? But we're not here to make sense of God. If you try to, you can't even try to make sense of God. That is just a non-starter. What we are told to do is to say, but you, Lord, I trust in you. And I will say, you are my God. That's what we are to say and declare. Amen. Hallelujah. If you look at the message version of that Psalm 31 verse 14, and it says, desperate, I throw myself on you. You are my God. It says, hour by hour, I place my hands in your hand. Save from the hands out to get me. Warm me, your servant, with a smile. Save me because you love me. Amen. The Amplifier says, but as for me, I trust confidently in you and your greatness, O Lord. I said, you are my God. Trust. When we look at the dictionary, trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of something. A firm belief, reliability, truth, or ability of something. And what I'm going to do is just to break down trust in an acronym, see what it stands for. It's not an exhaustive list, but these were the things that came as I thought of the word trust. Trust, T. What came in my spirit was the word total. To have total faith, total belief. If somebody can open Romans 4:20. Is that place of totality? Amen. Is somebody there?
Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. We heard that. Thank you, sir. So Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. No question marks, no doubt. Hebrews 10:23. That's one of our favorite scriptures. Hebrews 10:23. It said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised, God has promised, he's the one who has promised us. He is faithful. Amen. Trust, total faith, total belief. Not even leaving a little inch of doubt. Just going, and where there's doubt, saying, God, help my doubt in this situation. I want your total trust. I want your total belief. Anyone in Isaiah 50? Isaiah 50? They're talking about trust, total belief. I'll read this. Isaiah 50, verse 7. It says, because the sovereign Lord helps me. Are we there? It says, because the sovereign Lord helps Clara. I don't know if you want to put your name. Because the sovereign Lord helps Word Fountain, it helps you. It says, you will not be disgraced. I will not be disgraced. Whatever that situation is, you will not be disgraced. That's where we believe. That's total believing. First of all, believing that the sovereign Lord is helping you. Letting him help you. So sometimes we say, God is helping me, but we've already got our plans. We've already got what we want to do. And then we try and execute those plans, and then we'll come and say, please pray for this. But you're even telling us what to pray for, while God may have a completely different plan. And then when it doesn't work out the way you want it, because you wanted it on Wednesday, while God's time of making all things beautiful was not Wednesday, and it looks like God has not answered you. And then sometimes it leads to discouragement. But it says here, is the sovereign Lord who is our helper. He's the one we look to up above, and he's the one who sends help. That's why we're his children. Imagine we had this birthday celebration yesterday. As parents, we thought it was befitting to help celebrate the birthday. We could have said, you want birthday? Go and do your birthday. Go and meet caterers at 7. Go get the finances, put together your birthday. Or she could have said, I want to do my birthday. I'm going to go and do it. And then she doesn't know where to start from. And then comes back and says, it's not working. Why is nothing ever working? Because the principle is, ideally, the parents will be in a position to help. And that's us in our human wisdom. How much more God? If he says, I will help you, he means he will help you. There are times when human beings will want to help you genuinely. I will be there at this time. I promise as well. But something else comes up, and it's not possible for me to do it. Not that people just purposely want to let you. In most cases, anyway, it's not that everyone is saying that, just saying it to leave you there. Sometimes they genuinely want to help you. Or when they said they will help you, they were in a position where they felt they could help you. But then things changed. But when God says he's sovereign, that is his control of everything, and when he says he will help you, it means he will help you. And he's not changing his mind. He's not forgetting what he said. Even if you're looking around and it looks like help has not come, it doesn't mean he's not going to. In fact, he's helping, but you're not just allowing yourself to see how he's helping. Because the enemy will be pointing in the areas that don't seem to have come together when God says, I will help you. Amen? It says, I will not be disgraced as a result. There's no way if we allow God to help you that you'll be disgraced. Whichever way, whatever situation, there's no way. If you fully, totally trust him to help. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will. It's where you set your face like a stone. We see a stone outside. No matter what you do, or a flint. Another version says, no matter what you do, if you pick up a stone, can you change the structure? Even you chisel, the structure stays. It doesn't change. And that's what the Bible is saying. It requires from us to set our faith so strongly that no matter what is coming on, not wavering, holding on to the hope we can profess, holding on and saying, I'm not changing my gaze. I'm not changing my confession. Because you are saying, but I will trust in you, my God. Amen? Hallelujah. We can't change that. Determined to do his will. Determined to do what he's telling us to do. And it says, and I know I will not be put to shame. Because we are holding on. That no matter how long it seems, we pray for strength as we hold on. Not to give in to the situation. But it says, he will not put you to shame. God is such a loving father. Why would he want to put you to shame? Why? You are the apple of his eye. Because the truth is, if he puts you to shame, he's putting his name to shame. He's not honoring his name. But that's not who he is. He wants you to be celebrated like we prayed this morning. He wants people, as you celebrate, people are saying, wow, a celebration attracts people to you. If it's all the time, it's shame, shame, shame. Even the closest persons, only God's grace. After a while, when you pick up that phone call, suddenly it'll be missed calls, missed calls, missed calls. Because people, the challenge sometimes, somebody's going through their own, somebody will say wahala, some people are going through their own situations. And there's only so much strength as a human being you have. That's why God is the source of our strength. That's why we are a peculiar people. Where somebody will say, how can you keep going? But it's God's strength. That's what carries us through. That he renews our strength because he can renew our strength. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's about holding on. Trust. T, there, total, faith, believe. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And the R there. The R is for, sorry, I was to read to verse 10. Let me carry on. He who gives me justice, he is near. He's not far away. Who will dare to bring charges against me now? Why? Because God is near you. It's like, who can dare to bring charges? You can pick up that letter and it says this. You can pick up that phone call, it says this. You can pick up all sorts of things and whatever it says. But the prophet Isaiah was so confident. And he was saying, because justice is near, your justice is near. Wherever you're waiting, your justice is near. He says, who can dare to bring charges against me now? And he's looking boldly. Where are my accusers? Let them appear. You can say that when you know your God. You know? I don't know. It just reminds me. Maybe just some parts of the world where we grew up. But there's sometimes in the playground in the school, when there's some children who are a bit stronger, and you say something, it's okay, wait for me after school. We will fight. Wait for me. And you're quaking because you know you've probably spoken a bit too much. And the person is saying, just wait. And you are a bit nervous. After school, you're thinking, can I leave early? Before after school? Or something like that. And for those who had strong older siblings, and maybe the older siblings didn't know, and you got word to say, this person won, the older sibling turns up, and all of a sudden, you're like, all right then. Come on. You get confidence. You're saying, come on then, you wanted to fight? Come on. And this is what Isaiah was doing. He said, come on, where are my accusers? Appear. Where's those situations? Come on, what are you saying? You're saying I won't get my settlement in this country? Where are the accusers? You. Home office, do you know who my God is? Come on then, where's that doctor's report? What is it saying? I will never conceive, I will never have children. Do you even know when this womb was put together? Do you know that even before creation, God had told me how many children I will have? I just have to walk with God so that will be manifested, and you're bringing a letter saying, what are you saying? No. But, I will trust. We will trust in our God confidently. Message said you will throw yourself on God. Say, Lord, look what the enemies are saying. And God will say, my child, the apple of my eye. You know, there's a scripture I'm trying to recall. It's in Psalm. And it says, as about Jesus, it says, I have come as has been written about me in the scriptures. Where is it? Holy Spirit, help me. That is, I've not come because of what the Home Office have said. I have not come because of what doctors have said. I have not come because of what the law of the land has said. Yes, Psalm 40. I'll read verse 7. Psalm 40, verse 7. And it said, then I said, look, I have come as it is written about me in the scriptures. What do you think has been written about you in the scriptures? It didn't say, I have come as the doctors have written about me. It doesn't say, I've come as my manager has written about me. It doesn't say, I've come as whatever else have written about me. It said, I have come as is written about me in the scriptures. I have come as has been written about my marriage in the scriptures. I have come as has been written about my children in the scriptures. I have come as has been written about everything concerning me in the scriptures. All our job is to find what was written about those situations in the scriptures and hold on to those things so that when everything else comes, you're saying, I have come as has been written about me. And you tell that situation what has been written about you. Amen. Hallelujah. And verse 9, he says, see, the sovereign Lord is on my side. Who can declare me guilty? When God has told you, he doesn't see you any guilt. He's forgiven all our guilt. Who can declare you guilty? All my enemies, every enemy, all your enemies will be destroyed. Like old clothes that have been eaten by moths. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys his servant? If you are walking in darkness without a ray of light, trust in the Lord and rely on your God. He's saying, trust in him. Rely on your God. R is reliable, dependable. That's who our God is. Trust, composites reliability, relying on God, depending on him. Psalm 9:10.
And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee.
Amen. Praise God. When you know God's name, you trust in him, Lord, the Lord will never forsake you. He will never forsake those that seek him because he's reliable. He's dependable. That's who this God we serve is. Another R. Praise God. We'll carry on in reliable. So we will trust in him, though, and he will never forsake you. It's about us putting our trust in God. When we're unsure, when we're afraid maybe, when we're overwhelmed, we know that he will not abandon you. He will not just leave you. That's not the style of God. He can't just abandon. It's not in his nature to abandon. When you start with him, you finish with him with good success. Amen. In 2 Samuel 7:28, you can write the scriptures down. It says, Sovereign Lord, you are my God. Your covenant is trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. His covenant is trustworthy, it's reliable, it's dependable. And you have promised good things to your servant. I don't know how many people are God's servants. We're even God's children. Amen. We're God's friends. He's promised these things. Even when he saw us as servants, he was promising. And as his friends, can you imagine? As his children, can you imagine that? They are trustworthy. It's reliable. It's dependable. Another arrow I'll add to trust is relationship. If somebody can open Daniel 11:32, relationship. Daniel 11, verse 32, sir, is one that we often quote.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Daniel 11, 32.
Yes, sir.
And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits.
Amen. Hallelujah. It says the people relationship is our R. The people that do know their God will be strong and do what? I like the way the King James Version writes it. I think that was what you read, sir. It said, the ones that do know their God. So knowing God is about doing. Knowing God is not just you wake up and say, I know God. A lot of us would probably look at, say, yes, if somebody in a different country said, do you know the Queen? You probably nervously think yes. But really and truly, the people who really know her are those in her close cult. It's about doing, relationship. To know here, if you look at the word, what does know mean? It says to know is to develop a relationship through meeting and spending time with a person. So to be able to trust, we need to spend time with God on a daily basis. The more you know of him, the more you trust him. The less that we know of God, the less we can trust. The more we know of God, the more we know that no matter what it is, because we know the character of God, he will not leave us in that position. He will not abandon us. How do we know God? Our daily devotions, our reading of the word. Different channels now in a generation that social media doesn't have to lead to ruin. We can use it for our own benefit. As we are driving, we are listening to the word, knowing what it's saying about different situations. Because that's how we can be strong and do exploits. If you listen to that beginning of Daniel 11:32, what the beginning is actually saying, and let me read a New Living Translation. It says, he will flatter and win over those who have violated the covenant. So what it's saying here is what will be happening in the end times, when there will be persecution of the church, when there will be a different thing to discourage, to pull us down, to make us feel like, what are we going to do? Weary. But he's saying the only way you can survive this is about knowing your God, to be strong and do exploits. It's about building that relationship. No matter how good our relationship we feel is, there's always room for more. That's why I hear people who have been married for 30-something years, sometimes 40 above, they will say, you know what, I didn't really know that person. Or there's more to discover from that person. It's not the length of time we've been in Christianity. God is so awesome. God is so vast. God is so big. There's so much to God. That even if somebody, even Billy Graham, I'm sure, may his soul rest in perfect peace. I'm sure if somebody goes to Billy Graham and all the different people that through God's help, he's pulled to Christ, he will tell you every day there was still more to discover of God. And it's about relationship. Going in that devotion, not doing it to say, let me just do it quickly so I can tick that box to say I did it this morning. But truly, genuinely going, looking for more, seeking, searching, wanting more. But the Bible says, if you seek him, you will find. When our children play hide and seek, if they just sit there, as I know where you are. Okay, depends on who's hiding. If it's a very young child, you can pretty much guess the obvious places they will hide. But when it gets to a certain level and somebody goes hide and seek, there has to be an effort from the other party looking, searching, till they find. If you read once, like I was reading Leviticus. I read Leviticus 11 the first time. I thought, Lord, why have you brought me to a Leviticus? But I could have left Leviticus. But I went back, kept reading till I found something that the Lord was showing me. Some days the Holy Spirit immediately will show you. Some days it's not like that. You have to look the heart really seeking. And God will show you himself. So it's about a relationship. Our you in trust as we continue to build it is the unadulterated word of God. The Bible says the word of the Lord is alive, is active, is sharper than any double-edged sword in Hebrews 4:12. It said the word of the Lord is a hammer. It's a lamp in Psalm 119:105. It's spirit, it's life, the word, this precious book, this precious word. It is power. Amen. This is where the word of a king is, where the word of God is. There is power. It's been tested 7 times. Amen? It says the Lord's promises, his word, they are pure. They're like silver, filtered, refined in a furnace 7 times over. It's an incorruptible seed. That is, no situation can corrupt the word of God. Nothing is too big for the word of God to handle. Nothing is beyond the word of God. You can hear different stories, people's testimonies, that you just hearing it, you quake. But it doesn't shake God's word. It doesn't change God's word. It will remain the same. The heaven and earth can pass away, but not a jot, not a part of God's word will pass away. Because it's solid, it can be relied upon. It's something we have and we should thank God for. Amen? Amen. S is just that solid, steadfast belief. If somebody can read Psalm 112, verse 7. And someone else, Psalm 57, verse 7. Psalm 112, verse 7, please. And Psalm 57, verse 7.
Psalm 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord.
Thank you, my sister. Thank you. God bless. Amen. My version said they will not fear bad news. Amen. I didn't hear an amen.
Amen.
They will not fear bad news.
Amen.
Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Trust is a daily thing. Yesterday you might have trusted really well, and then tomorrow comes, the enemy will try, because he doesn't like the fact we're trusting, he'll try and throw something. But you keep trusting. And that way you will not fear bad news. Bad news is not for us. We are people of good news. Amen.
Amen.
Because we started by saying that God causes everything to work together for good. So there are things that come that other people around you may see as bad news. But you're saying, me, I'm not to fear bad news because I know God will work this together for good.
Amen.
He will turn it around in a way that even I don't understand, but I know my God will turn it around.
Amen.
And there's no way you're standing in that place, like I said, that God wouldn't come through for you. Like I said, the celebration we had on Saturday, we got to a point where it was like, because there were just so much things happening in the week that there was no time to plan, put anything together. And we're saying, are we sure? But I kept having that reassurance. When I phoned people, it would just be very quick. Things that I thought would struggle, God would just make him way. And I said, Lord, as long as you're in this, I know we'll rejoice. From the beginning, he gave us the word smile. It was going to be a place of rejoicing where joy will be full. So I had to hold on to that. No matter what was going on, I would say to myself, just smile. Just keep going. Because God will come through. He's the one doing the celebration, not us. We are just vessels. So it's a whole through trusting, continually building your trust. That is why I was saying relationship. The more you know the person, the more you know him, the more you know I can trust in him. Maybe before you've not seen the scripture we read today that he'll bless our bread and water to remove diseases from our midst. But that morning you read it and all of a sudden you see your breakfast, you're taking it. Say, Lord, I thank you. You have blessed this bread. You have blessed my water. And you are removing any sickness. You are removing that. You are taking your communion. You say, Lord, you are blessing the bread. You are blessing the communion wine. And I know you are removing sickness. I know you are removing diseases. You can even stand in faith on behalf of somebody else. So that sickness before that would have made you afraid. Because you are building that relationship, because you are trusting him, you walk out the next day and you are confident. You're not afraid to open any letters. You're not afraid to listen, to get phone call. I know for some, if international call comes, there's a bit of fear. There's anxiety. There's nervousness to say, what are they going to say? What do they want? Or something like that. But whatever it is, when you're trusting God, you can hold on. You will not be afraid, because the Lord doesn't want us to fear. He has not given us that spirit of fear. That's not our portion. If he rises up, it's not from God. But if we don't read the word, we wouldn't understand that. Somebody might come and say, it's natural, you're a human being, it's all right to fear. No, that's against the word of God. He didn't say, because we're human, that what he's wired in us is fear. Because we are dead to our own flesh. We have the mind of Christ now. Are the attitude of Christ. So if Christ, just think if Jesus got an international call, would his reaction be the same reaction that we display? Because we're supposed to be like Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 26 verse 3. It says, you will keep in perfect peace, all who are trusting in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, who keep in perfect peace. It's not the kind of peace that the world gives. Amen? And the last T I've put down here for testimonies. Testimonies. That is, you are to trust, you think about also the things that God has done in the past that you thought was a very difficult situation. And you say, well, if God saw me through this in the past, he can see me through whatever I'm going through now. You can even look at people around you to say, I remember praying with this brother. I remember praying with this sister. And God saw them through this. So in my situation, he can see me through it. Amen. When we trust in the Lord, if somebody reads Psalm 34, verse 10. Yes, ma. Psalm 34, verse 10.
Lack any good thing.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, ma'am. The lions who may grow weak and hungry, but those who put their trust in God or seek the Lord, as the version we just heard, ma'am, they will lack no good thing. That's testimonies. There's no way you can trust the Lord and lack anything from God. That is, and when God says good, it's not the same definition as our good. It's better. When you trust him, you will not be put to shame. You will not be disappointed. He renews our strength. That comes with trust. It says, as us as humans, if we can give good gifts, how much more our God? If we see it's good enough and we want to give somebody and bless somebody, do we think that our God will not want to give us the best? He did not, as Romans 8:32 says, he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, all of us. He gave up his son. He was not looking and saying, let me put a criteria. I would only give up my son for this category of people, for that one or whatever. He was giving him up. Not that we were saying thank you, not that we were necessarily appreciating it, but he was. And he says, won't he give us everything else? Why would he hold back? Amen? Praise God. So we started with T for total. Thank you. We started with T. Thank you. God bless you. For total. Total faith. Total belief in God. We started with R for reliable and relationship with God. Amen. And we started with U for undiluted, unadulterated word of God. Amen. And we had the other S for steadfast, solid seeking of the Lord. And we rounded it with T for testimonies. This is all underpinned, undergirded by obedience. Because when we trust, it's a good thing to trust when we get to that place. But it's about now obeying what God wants us to do. When we trust and he says whatever actions he gives us, it's about obedience of that. Praise God. As we see, as we round up the month of February and the different messages we've heard, that we are not to stay silent of God's wondrous deeds. We're to declare them. We're to speak them. We're to speak of testimonies, things that prophetically that we know God will do in our lives. We should tell other people of God's wondrous deeds. It's not to keep it to ourselves, but share of God's love. Share of his goodness. Amen. Even in January. January was God alone who does wonders. Now we talked about declaring his wondrous deeds. We'll be moving on to March and we'll be starting another theme. But the idea is not that we leave declaring his wondrous deeds for February. That's only a component of the year of awesome wonders. The way that only him alone, only God alone does wonders in January. That's another component of the peace, just like the fruit of the Spirit. The different elements that make up the whole fruit. So because we're moving on to March, let's not remain silent. We'll continue to declare his wondrous deeds. We'll continue to look forward, continue to be expectant to declare his wondrous deeds. Because he wants us to do that. He wants to speak through us. We're the vessels that he's using to change things around us. Change things globally. Change things naturally. Change things in our environment. You know, there was something in our family situation where there was such enmity between parties in the family that was just causing, every time, it was just causing so much pain almost. Yeah, pain is the right word. Such enmity. And I'll hear of it, but I'm here in the UK, so I can't go and sit and call that one and whatever, but I could sit with God. I could pray over that situation. Years and years has been going on. No matter how much any uncle, any senior person comes and talk to those people, it was not possible to bring them together. But I just continued in prayer among everyone else, holding on. And yesterday, a WhatsApp message saying, I don't know what's happening, but suddenly they're now getting together. They're now connected. They've apologized. Amen. And the person came the next day again to talk to that person. check up on that person. That would never have happened because they will be walking past each other. They will not even look at each other before. But it's the God of awesome wonders, where you just take control, the authority that God has given us, wherever you are, to change that situation. Not saying, oh, I need to get my flight ticket so I can go there. What can we do? It's only God who does wonders. Only Him. So it's relying on Him. Wherever we are, putting our trust, our heart in Him. Whatever you hear, yes, sometimes I seem like bad news. But you stay and declare, I will not fear bad news. Because you know God will not forsake. He will not abandon you in that situation. You present it to God. Because His interest, He even knows before He comes to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just rise up on our feet. Are we trusting God? Or are we carrying burdens? Because if we are worried about anything, if there's any anxiety in any situation, if there's any nervousness, then we're not in a place of trust. Let's just start to thank God. Let's just acknowledge Him. Thank Him that you can actually trust Him. It is a privilege. Thank Him. Because it's not always the way. As we know, we're human beings, we want to desperately trust. But it's not always easy for you to have a God that you can truly trust and rely on. When you're not sure, when you don't understand things, when it doesn't make sense. Let's just start to thank God. He's here. He's around. He knows our hearts. He knows if our heart is giving Him 100% dedication or not. He knows the areas, if we've given Him full control and saying, Lord, I trust in You. I don't know if the technical team have the song, God is Here. Let's just talk to God this afternoon. Committing all to Him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You. I'll read as we pray, Proverbs 5:3-5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. For you to trust Him with all your heart, you need to lay down every burden. You need to lay down every weight. I was reading an article, it described it. It said, imagine carrying a bag full of rocks. Everywhere you go, you're going with that rock. Everywhere you go with that rock. Imagine how you feel when you lay down the rock, when you lay down the burden. Let's just ask God to help us. As you lay down every burden, every worry, every pain, speak to the Lord to help you as you put it down to Him. Whatever anxiety, anxiousness, whatever situation has held you down. Father, we thank You. Even as we lay down everything, even before we came to this service, whatever worries, let's just surrender it all to God this afternoon. Because He's saying we should trust Him. There was a YouTube clip, Brother Henry, if not, don't worry. Let's just commit it completely unto Him. Hallelujah. Let's pray that God will help you to trust Him with your whole heart. When situation comes, it's not easy to be in that place of trust. I don't know what we're going through. Father, we commit ourselves completely to You. You have control of the king's heart. Daddy, Lord Jehovah, we give You full control of our hearts. That, Father, Lord, You turn it to a place of trust. You take it away from where we have worried. Father, when our heart has been filled with anxieties, in whatever area, so we can start to declare Your wondrous deeds in our lives, O God. Help us not to depend on our own understanding. Help us not to depend on man's report. But Father, oh God, I will depend on You. Father, we'll bless Your holy name. I don't know if we are praying. I don't know if we are praying. I hope we are praying. Father, we'll bless Your holy name. Father, we thank You. I want us to pray against every uprising, every contradiction that will stop you from declaring His wondrous deeds. Anything, any bad news, I want you to pray. Pray for the months ahead. Pray for the hours ahead. Pray for the days ahead. Pray. Cover your family. Cover the church. Pray. That a ring of fire, a wall of fire, a hedge around you, around his church, that indeed every contradiction to you declaring God's wondrous deeds, every uprising against the things concerning to you, that you are praying, that you are saying, no, you will not stand. We are pulling you down in the name of Jesus. It will not stand against his church. It will not stand against your health. It will not stand against your family. Ah, we are saying you will not stand. The Lord has called us to declare his good deeds. He called us to declare his mighty deeds. And so shall it be. So shall it be. In the name of Jesus, our families will declare his wondrous deeds. Father, we bless your holy name. Daddy, we give you glory. Daddy, we give you honor. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, your word says, as we speak unto your ears, so shall you do. Thank you for your people as we have prayed, as we have spoken to you. Father, we thank you that you are helping us to trust you better. You are helping us to lean on you better. Daddy, we thank you, oh God, that you, as you remove anxieties, worries, that you teach us not to worry, but instead to go to a place of trust so that we can continue to declare all the great promises, Daddy, that are incorruptible. Daddy, Lord Jehovah, to claim the inheritance you have in store for us. Daddy, we thank you that even as a few days left in this month of February, Daddy, you have great and mighty things planned. That you showed us that those who trust in you, even our men, our women, our children, our youths, our singles that trust in you, will lack no good thing, Daddy, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you glory, we give you honor. Father, we adore your holy name. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.